Welcome to the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Miley, an IFS-informed certified trauma recovery coach. This show features interviews from survivors all over the world as they share their impactful story of thriving in their post-traumatic growth. We explore resources, tools, and coping skills to support the trauma survivor community. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Miley. I'm an IFS-informed trauma recovery coach. I have with us today, Lynn Rivers. Lynn, thanks for joining us. Lynn Rivers teaches people a different way of living and being in this world. While her educational background is very diverse, it's her own journey that really sets her apart. She's able to connect with people on a wide range of trauma events because she's had to overcome so many herself, from death of all of her family members and a partner, abandonment, neglect, sexuality, growing up with an alcoholic, depression, relationship trauma, homelessness, career changes, lack of direction and feelings of hopelessness, gender identity, anger and fear, addiction, illness, and near-death experiences. Her educational background includes holistic and functional medicine, microbiome therapy, spiritual counseling, Eastern and Western massage therapy, neuro-linguistic programming, yoga therapy, life coaching, death doula, hypnosis, and human design analysis. She has over 15 years of education in this holistic health field, really assisting people in overcoming chronic health conditions and mental health disorders, teaching others essentially how to take their health into their own hands. Lynn, thanks for joining us today. I'm excited for this conversation because I love to geek out on science. Most of my listeners know that. So let's jump in and just share with us. You've gone through obviously a whole slew of things, and now you've landed in this place where you have come back to be a healer and a coach for others. How has this journey been for you?
Right. So, and if, it's funny to hear you list all of those things, right? Because it's just like, they are the past and I'm not attached to them anymore. But I did start off on a really rocky path. I had pneumonia when I was 1 in 3, and I was tied down in incubators. And so that was the start of some really traumatic experiences for me, because at that age, you don't take on words, you take on feeling. And so when my parents would say, I love you, and it was in so much fear of me dying, I equated the word love very early on in life with something terrifying. And so when I was old enough to comprehend words and use them, I thought that love was something I should never use. And I remember tensing up by the age of 4, every time anyone in my family would say, I love you, I would just get really angry and aggressive, and I would never say it back. And it, a few years later, when I was 8, was the first time that I said, I love you. And it was to my grandma. Mm. And she was in the hospital, and she had been battling breast cancer for a long time. And I said, I love you at the end of it. And she died right after I said that. And so as an 8-year-old, you have a narcissistic brain where you think that everything happens either because of you or for you. And so I thought I killed her because I said, I love you. And so I shoved that down even deeper, and I carried it with me through the rest of my, until my late 20s, about my late 20s. And so there was that aspect. And I never said I loved you to my mom, who died when I was 15. I refused to say it. And the rest of my family members who died, I lost the majority of my family members before I was 15 years old. And a lot of my memories from childhood are being in the car with my dad when he was drunk. And it was just watching my grandma fall and not being able to help her because I was with her the most of the time. And all of these events had just like really programmed my brain into fear. I was terrified of living. And so as things progressed, I had asthma my entire childhood. I was in and out of the hospitals. I ended up with a lot of hormonal imbalances and gut dysbiosis because of the antibiotics and the steroids that I was on. And so that just cascaded. I had endometriosis, other hormonal imbalances, constant migraines. I had suicidal depression in all my teens and in my 20s. I was really aggressive. I had literally no capacity for living. I was just getting by. I barely graduated high school. And so it was just this natural thing for me. That's just what I knew. And I carried that into the relationships, right? I attracted people who created this same sense of loss every 2 years, because that's what I was used to. And so that just, you know, progressed naturally. And then I eventually, in my late 20s, ended up meeting someone who, for the first time, was like, oh, I really actually like this person. It's not just this pattern. Turns out it was the biggest pattern. And I attracted a partner who ended up dying of the same colon cancer that my mom died of at the same time that I was dying from my organs shutting down. And so that just created like another new program. And I was like, okay, I really need to check in with myself, because that was the moment where I realized we create our own reality, because I literally attracted a partner who died of the same cancer. And so I hadn't healed through that. And so I kept attracting that to be healed. And so fast forward, I ended up in a couple of other near-death experiences. And the last time it happened, I was in the hospital for a week on antibiotics, and it wrecked my gut microbiome so much to the point that I could only eat two foods. I had histamine issues to the point where I tried throwing a Frisbee and I almost had a heart attack, and I had to sit down for 15 minutes and get my body to calm down. And that was the turning point where, while I had studied so much about holistic nutrition and all these different modalities since I was 18 years old, that was the turning point that actually pushed me into functional medicine. And I got to learn about my bodies in ways that I never thought possible, and more than most people are willing to go into the depth, because I had every symptom you could imagine. I was even pre-diabetic. And so that was the point for me where I was like, I need to change something. And I think this is it. And sure enough, my life started changing so quickly. And I was able to heal myself through all of these conditions. Mm-hmm. And for me, there was like really pivotal moments of my mental health, getting my body in check, and finding out that all the mental disorders that I had just like went out the window. That was a profound moment for me, and where I really started taking it to the next step and sharing that with my clients. Instead of helping them through the emotional trauma, I actually started working on the physical body, and that ended up healing the emotional trauma.
Wow. That, I love that different approach to that whole system there. And you said, you were afraid of living when you were a child, and it's like life just kept trying to take you out.
Oh yeah.
And even though you were afraid of this life that you were living, you continued to pursue life, because that's like a normal brain function, is to not die, is to stay alive and safe. That's wild. What is, take us through what the difference is between a Western medical approach and this holistic approach that you use. Why do we use both of them? And what is that holistic approach? You have frozen. If you can still hear me, you froze a little bit.
There you are.
Yes. Come back to me. Yes. Did you hear the question?
I did. So you were asking about the difference between Western approaches. And so the big difference that people need to know is functional medicine is all about finding the root cause of all disease. And so Western medicine, they are set up to diagnose symptoms and to prescribe drugs that are going to mask the symptoms. Yeah. Western medicine has a place in acute conditions. When my appendix ruptured, I definitely needed to be in that hospital. But anything past that point is actually what made me worse. And that's where I saw a lot of my family members go into the Western medical system. They got worse. Like, it just deteriorated them, because they weren't actually fixing the root cause of why you're sick in the first place. So when you go and you get a diagnosis, those diagnoses that you receive are actually symptoms of an imbalance in your body. They're not diseases themselves. They're symptoms. And that's your body showing you, hey, something's not right. I need help. Right. And so the Western medical system is trained to, okay, let's just mask these symptoms. You have to treat the symptoms, not the condition. And so that's the biggest difference with functional medicine. I go to the root cause. You might be having inflammation or arthritis or any of these things, but we need to figure out where's the inflammation coming from and get that working through, right? And time again, it comes back to the microbiome, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. Yeah. But that's the biggest difference, is Western medicine covers up symptoms. Functional medicine actually gets you to heal and to be better.
Yeah. So important. The root causes in every sense of that word, right? Even the mental health disorders, it's like, okay, there's depression, here's some medication, versus where is that coming from? And oftentimes it might be a chemical imbalance, but it's also great to root out and find out if it was trauma related, if it's a relationship that you're in, if it's some kind of toxicity in your body that's making it, you know, perceive as a depressive kind of state like you kind of went through. I find that super, super important. So yeah, let's dive in. First of all, tell people what you mean when you're talking about this word microbiome. And I love your approach of the microbiome with trauma and the flip mm-hmm. side of that, the trauma kind of messing up yes. that microbiome.
Yes. And first, I want to clarify, when you say the chemical imbalance, it most likely is a chemical imbalance. And we just need to figure out what's causing the chemical imbalance, right? Yeah. And it could be so many different things. So we think of chemical imbalances as going straight to the neurological system. We need to fix the brain. Yeah. See, that's the problem with the Western system, is they think it's a brain problem because it's the neurons that are being affected. But the reality is our gut microbiome, what we're about to talk about, there are millions of nerves that come from your gut to your brain yeah. and via the vagus nerve. And so that alone should give you like this aha moment of, oh my God. So whatever I'm putting in my body is going to affect my mental health. Yeah. And so with that being said, it's not as black and white as eat healthy, eat vegetables, eat all this. There's so much that goes into it. And that's what I do. I help people understand all the different ways that they can be affected. And our gut microbiome, I like to think of it as our trillions of babies, because the reality is, so we have gut viruses and bacteria, fungi, all of these things that live within our gut. But the reality is we are only 10% human cells, while the rest of us is literally microbiome. And so we have to like look at ourselves differently and think like, oh, I'm feeding my microbiome and they're feeding me, right? It's a symbiotic relationship. And so when you have gut dysbiosis, your microbiome is out of balance and you have more bacteria that shouldn't be there, or you could have small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, for a small example, where the majority of your gut microbiome should be in your large intestine, but they can seep, get up into your small intestine, which causes a lot of different issues. And when all of that gets imbalanced, there's an imbalance in your system, you can end up with leaky gut. And therefore, anything that you're eating, if they have neurotoxins, like a lot of plant compounds, for example, they will seep into your bloodstream. And those neurotoxins are then also going to affect your mental health. So it's coming from many different perspectives. It's not just this one way through the vagus nerve. It's also, okay, how is your gut integrity? And are there things seeping through that are going to impact you negatively? Mm-hmm. And so there's so many different ways to look at it. And a lot of people are not doing this. Even in the functional medicine world, it's always like this one focal point. Yeah. And so I'm doing it from a different perspective.
For sure. And so when we're bringing trauma into this, I was thinking about how trauma impacts the microbiome. And you were saying you actually flip that and you think about how it is affecting your day-to-day. So can you speak to that for trauma yes. survivors and how they can improve this?
So this is my favorite topic, because this is actually what changed my life. Literally, it was life-changing for me. So we think about trauma, and yes, it affects our body because we go into the fight or flight, which affects our vagus nerve is set off. It's inflamed. There's a lot going on. And so, yes, that's going to affect our gut microbiome also. But the way to get through it is through healing the gut alongside healing through the trauma. So I spent years and years and years taking care of the traumatic aspects. I uncovered them. I knew where everything was stemming from. I knew the patterns that I was repeating, why I was doing them. I had it cleared. I knew that I was fine. I was like, oh, okay. Like, this stuff doesn't bother me anymore. But why am I still crying uncontrollably? Why am I still getting super depressed? Why am I having these aggressive outbursts? And those, for me, we automatically think like, oh, I must have not healed through certain traumatic aspects. Let me go back and uncover it more. Right. So that's the mentality that we have. Like, oh, you just need to heal through this stuff more. But the reality is, the trauma that happened in the past was an experience. The thing that is continuing to show symptoms is the body. That means we need to heal the body, because our soul understands the traumatic experiences we went through. Yeah. What that was there, it was done. And then we take the lessons and move forward. And so when I got through that and I started healing my gut, I remember specifically removing a couple of certain compounds from my diet that I knew were linked to certain behaviors. We could talk more about that if you want to. But when I removed them, I remember sitting there for the first time thinking, is this how I'm supposed to feel on a regular basis? I'm supposed to be calm and happy and I feel good? Is this my natural? Because my entire life was spent in the flight or fight, and I just didn't know how to move outside of it. And so when I removed these compounds, I was like, oh my God, my gut integrity was so messed up from a very early age because of, especially if you grew up in the 80s, the amount of antibiotics that we were handed, like, were candy, mm-hmm. without knowing the damage that they were doing to our gut.
Yeah.
And all the steroids that I was on from all of the inhalers and all of these different things in the hospital, that my gut had been damaged very early on. So yeah. It was this early on progression, and it just kept getting worse because I kept getting more antibiotics and all of these other things. And so I realized, like, this started very early on, and I have a very, my gut was very damaged. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of work to do, especially after the last time in the hospital that I talked about. And so it, when I got that in check, everything from my past made sense. I could look at it and not even, I was actually able to laugh at certain things, like thinking, like, how funny is it that I thought I killed my grandma because I told her that I loved her, right? Because you can eventually look back at your past and be like, that is just what I went through. That's it. Yeah. There's really nothing more to it, because that's not our present, right? And so it was my body that was just like, still, let me put it this way for you. When our gut is damaged and we have all of those millions of nerves going to our brain, all of that bacteria that's overgrown or that we don't have enough of is literally sending signals to our brain every second that we eat, mm-hmm. right? And that is why some people feel so good when they fast, because they're no longer feeding the gut bacteria that are causing those reactions. Right. And so that's why it was like this profound moment of realizing that we cannot create new neurological pathways when our gut is dysbiotic and is continuing to send the same signals over and over again that keep us locked into the old loops. Right. Because we talk about creating a reality and changing our neurons and all of these really profound things that, yes, they are a big part of our existence. Yeah. But how do you expect to create new neurons when you're eating the same things that are going to keep feeding the same cycles, right? So that's like the best way that I could describe it in simple terms as to why this is happening.
Wow. What I'm thinking about when you were talking is older folks who used to have mercury cavity fillings, metal. I don't remember what the metal was. I might be wrong with mercury, but the metal that they had in
there was mercury.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I was like, oh, all of a sudden now I'm thinking like aluminum and other things, but they realized there was a lot of sickness that was happening and people would start to feel better just by taking those type of fillings out. They don't even use those anymore to even start with. Right. So with a little bit of a disclaimer that it's going to be extremely personalized, I imagine, for everyone, would you mind sharing, just to give people an example of some of the things that you had to add in or remove that kind of helped to find your... Mm-hmm. What are you calling? Is it like a balance that you're trying to do, or is it like a healing of the biome? What's the proper wording there for what you're actually doing?
So it's basically bringing your body back to homeostasis, right? Okay. You're bringing your body back to a place of balance. So the viruses, bacteria, the fungi, all of those things in your body are actually really beneficial. Yeah. 99% of the gut bacteria are beneficial to us. It's when they get out of control, yes. Like H. pylori, for example, that's right. A well-known one. It's really beneficial to us when it's in a very small quantity, right. But once it reproduces to a large extent, then it starts causing problems. So it's like that with every bacteria that you could imagine in our body, which there's trillions. So it's like, we can't pinpoint what each one does yet. We're still learning. We're at the basis of it.
Right.
But what you're really wanting to do is bring that back to balance. And so that way, so you're able to digest your food, because one thing that I like to point out is, you asked like what certain things did I have to remove? And there's one specifically that I like to bring up, because everyone thinks like, oh, eat more vegetables and you'll be healthier. Yeah. That is not the case, especially when you have gut dysbiosis. Mm. And so plants have compounds that are their protective mechanism to not be eaten. And they're called their phytates. So salicylates, oxalates, and they have other chemical compounds that are actually neurotoxins. Mm-hmm. And so when you eat them, if you have a dysbiotic gut and you have leaky gut, those are going to seep into your bloodstream and they're going to cause neurological problems. Mm-hmm. On the deeper level, if you have really bad gut dysbiosis and there's certain bacteria that are also already creating their own form of phytates in the system, that's just adding to the fuel, right? And so when you have those, which I did myself, if I ate any of them, it would set me off. And salicylates, I like using this one as an example because it is directly linked to autism, suicidal depression, schizophrenia. There's all these other conditions along with eczema and other skin conditions that people don't know about these, right? We're not talking about these plant compounds because it's information that you have to dig for. Even as a functional medicine practitioner, I had to dig for this information to learn about them. Yeah. But these small things can cause so many health issues, especially mentally, when you're not aware of them. And I had eczema and I just couldn't understand like, where is this coming from? And then I found out, oh, it's linked to the same thing that's making me aggressive every time I eat. Wow. And it was this specific compound. And so I had to remove it from my diet until I got my body in check. Mm. And now it's still one of those things where you do not want to overconsume plant compounds. Yeah. We're living in a society where we have everything at our access to us because of importation. And a lot of these plants, we would typically not be eating off season and we would not be eating them in large quantities. If you look back at ancestral diets, we had a major protein, we had a carb, and we had a vegetable or a berry or something of that sort, but it was never in abundance. Right. And those plant compounds are, we're not supposed to be consuming them on a large quantity because our liver has to clean up the excess toxins. And when it can't, it just shoves it back into the bloodstream. And so that's why we keep getting sick. Mm. Right. And so it really does come back to a balanced approach to everything. We shouldn't be over consuming any food source. And these chemicals are really wreaking havoc on our body in general.
That is fascinating. I know I learned, I think it was over this past summer, learning about the fact that most plants are not, most vegetables are not real. They're not organic. They're not natural. They've been created by human beings, right? Exactly. And so they've been planted in other areas. And then that plant has to decide how it can stay strong in mm-hmm. winter when it's not supposed to even be in this climate. Right. And like, there's like one type of tomato that's like in from South America, but now we have like hundreds because we've just genetically modified all of these things. And I was like, so vegetables aren't even real. Okay. Interesting. Which is really wild. So it makes sense that, yeah, because you know, if the animals are able to eat them, right. But they also have to have their own protective mechanisms. It's just a whole different way to kind of think about things, especially to all of our plant-based listeners and vegan listeners. There's going to be, you know, some research for them to maybe kind of just think about a little bit more of this, like in depth. I want to just touch on, you were talking about what I always have referred to as the brain gut connection, right? And mm-hmm. I know you're talking about how the stomach is talking to the gut is talking to the brain and vice versa. We've actually learned recently, right, that there is more information from the gut going to the brain than the brain right. is going to the gut, right? So with the connection in mind, and we know that a lot of trauma survivors have had some kind of disconnection to their body in general, right? Their body is in a safe place. They've gone through abuse or trauma that has disconnected them. We're all very, you know, up in our head, very logical, mm-hmm. a large majority, 90%+ of trauma survivors.
Yes.
So asking for a friend, but like, how do we fix the brain gut connection? Just like, tell us how we can fix it, Lynn. I want three easy steps. Go.
I was saying, it really comes down to, I mean, so there's the course that I'm making right now really dives into the main causes of all illness, mm-hmm. right? And the biggest point is lifestyle, because lifestyle incorporates all of them. How are you eating? What are you eating? When are you eating? What are you watching? What are you listening to? All of these things are going to impact your life. Wow. And are you active or are you sitting the majority of the day? What are you doing throughout? So that is the biggest thing, right? Is really paying attention to who you are and what you're doing and what you're inviting into your reality. Yeah. Because that's going to dictate whether you end up on a healthier path or continuing on a negative cycle or getting worse, right? And one of the biggest questions I like to ask my clients is, if you are in the same position 5 years from now, or potentially worse, are you going to be happy? And 99% of the time it's, oh my God, no. Then it's take a step right now and learn about your body, right? Because you need to learn about how your body actually functions. It's your soul's transportation in this lifetime. It has its own necessities. And when it's not given those necessities, it can't function properly. So when you don't have the proper nutrients, when you don't have your digestive system's not working properly, then it's going to affect every area of your mind, body, and soul, right? You're not going to be able to do the things you want to do, and you're not going to have the mental capacity or the energy because it can't function. When it functions properly, you start, you know, your mind can be reprogrammed a lot easier because all the signals are working, and it's like, oh, hey, we can actually create new neural networks up here because we're not repeating the cycle. Yeah. And it really comes down to understanding the body, how it operates. And I will give you one big tip as to why so many people are sick in this world. And that is because the majority of the population, over 88%, has insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. We're not meant to be spiking our blood sugars as much as we do. And this comes back to what we're eating and the vegetables and all of these. We're eating so many carbohydrates as a world, basically. I mean, it's not even just Americans. This is across the board. And we're not supposed to be spiking our blood that much because then our insulin spikes. And I don't think people acknowledge that when your blood glucose spikes, that's feeding all of the bad bacteria as well as cancer cells, right? Mm-hmm. And then the insulin is it's a precursor to help those cells grow. Insulin helps things grow. And so this is why we have so many different cancers and why so many people are dying of this, because cancer feeds on glucose and insulin feeds those cells to grow. Yeah. Right. And yeah. So we just have so much of that. And I think it's important to put it into perspective that we should be eating no more than tops 50 grams of carbs per meal. And that is really big. Like, that's a big number still.
Yeah.
Most Americans are eating anywhere from 75 to 150 grams of carbs per meal. Okay. You think about, so like if people go out, they get a hamburger, french fries, and a Coke, that's over 150 grams of carbs.
Wow.
Right. And so it really just, and we always like, oh, it's the meat that's causing the problems. That's where we wanted to go to first, right? We wanted to blame the meat instead of realizing that it's carbs that are causing so much inflammation in our body. And the biggest problem is insulin, which for people who don't know, we produce this from our pancreas. It's not something that diabetics take. We actually produce this hormone. Right. And the difference between all of for this hormone and all other hormones is that insulin affects every single cell in your body. Mm-hmm. So you can become, it can affect your liver, but then it also affects your limbs and it affects your brain and it affects every other cell in your body. And so it's not just this hormone like, oh, this affects my reproductive system, right? No, it's affecting every single cell in your being. Wow. I watch clients come off of a high carb diet and they feel better in days. And I'm talking things that they've experienced for 10 plus years. And all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I feel like I can take this on. I can like actually do something. And that alone is one of the most like profound things that you can do for your body.
Yeah. Yeah. The lower carb is harder too when you are totally plant-based because plants have a lot of carbs, right? And then you have all these fillers that are in plant-based, like your fake burgers and things mm-hmm. like that. I mean, this is just information for people to think about and move forward. It is really interesting to think of the literally down to the compounds, down to the genetic makeup of the food that you're actually eating. I mean, and we Americans love our packaged food, right? Which has all of these added chemicals and added sugars. And we already know that's a problem, but it's very, very difficult to kind of move away from that kind of thing. So I appreciate that work that you're doing in that functional health world. You have now become a resource to the people, right? As a holistic practitioner, as a coach, as a life coach, you're working with your courses. When you were healing, what would you say are some of the top maybe one, two, or three resources that were just the most catalyst in your transformation, mind, body, spirit? Because it sounds like you went through your trauma healing on a different plane and then your body started to heal as well. And then that kind of fixed a lot of the emotional kind of stuff. But where were some of those jumping off points for you?
Yeah, I think getting my body in check was the key to everything because it's the said it was what was continuing to repeat the emotional outbursts or all of that. It wasn't the trauma that I had unpacked very early on. Yes, I'm thankful for that because then once I was able to get my body in check, everything just kind of like fell into place.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, for myself, I had to do all of my own research. I was my own mentor. And no matter I would go into, you know, functional medicine practices and I'd be offered a job, but they had nothing more to give me than what I already knew at that point. Right. Mm-hmm. So I just had to keep taking it step by step further and further. But really it came down to understanding that I was pre-diabetic, even though I looked thin and healthy. this kind of like the aha moment of, oh, I'm doing something wrong, even though I think I'm eating healthy, right? Like drinking all these smoothies and eating sweet potatoes and all of these things that we deem healthy. I wasn't eating sugar. I wasn't eating processed foods, yeah. right? But my constitution, so you can be pre-diabetic or have insulin resistance in the capacity where it's going to affect you eventually, or you could be to the point where it's going to affect you now. And I was already to that point where it was affecting me now. And so that was like the big turning point where I realized like, I'm pre-diabetic and I was like 28 years old. Right. And that for me was just like, okay, like something's got to give. And so obviously the functional medicine has just been that aha moment, which is why I'm sharing that more than anything at this point, along with the mindset coaching. Right. So those are my two main things that I do still, because you have to have the mindset of getting better. Because if you don't, you're going to only continue finding problems and not the solutions. Right. When you're ready to heal, everything's going to be a solution. You're going to find the answers. The things are going to come to you. I'm going to be a light for someone today, right? Like I'm going to be that aha moment because someone's ready to take that step. And so those two things are just like key. Functional medicine, because it incorporates everything about you, and the mindset mentality.
Lynn, I love your passion. I mean, it just comes through the screen that this is just such an important message for you. And I think it's important before we wrap up, because of something you just said, I just want to, what advice would you have for survivors who are listening, who maybe already struggle in that mindset, right? Maybe they are lacking that self-worth. Well, it's whatever, it's no big deal. It's just how it is. Maybe they're in that more depressive state. It's hard to move from that into action. What would you say to someone who's maybe struggling to take those first steps?
I want to make this very clear that getting your body in check is going to be the first part of it all. And I say this because I know how to set my system off. I know when I overeat one thing, I know what I did and it'll set me off and I can fall back into that space very easily. I'll have like, even like a few weeks ago, I ate something that I did not realize was high salicylates and it set my body off and I went into a depressive state and I had to sit through it. But in those moments, I cannot see outside of that space. I'm like, ah, oh, this is, I don't want to be here. This is horrible. And you just, you cannot see outside of it because it is your body having this response. It doesn't matter how positive you are on a regular basis. When you come into those spaces, you cannot see outside of it. Okay. So it's not, and I think that's why this is so important for me to get across to people is when you heal your body and you actually know what it feels like to be good, to feel good, you can really learn like, oh, I just ate this and this is what's like affecting me. And that profoundness is like great, because then eventually I was able to, now I can sit in those spaces and I'll be in that dark space for a minute, but I'll be like, oh, I just ate this. Oh my God, this is what's setting me off. Okay, let me breathe a little bit more. Let me be a little bit more patient with myself because I finally understand why this just happened again.
Right.
So it's very far and few in between right now when this stuff happens, because I'm very conscious of what I'm eating.
Right.
I just didn't know that this specific herb that I had was high in salicylates until I Googled it afterwards. And I was like, oh my God, okay, it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Right. And so getting your body in check and actually learning about this, like that is key to you overcoming that mentality. Because when your body's unhealthy, nothing is going to, you're not going to be able to see anything from a different perspective. Right. And you're going to feel, when you're not feeling good, your dominant feeling is going to be, I don't really care. Like, oh, I don't really, this is just how it is. This is what it's going to be.
Right.
But when you feel good and you can actually get out there and you're doing things that you love, all of a sudden everything opens up to you and you feel great and everything you start attracting all of these positive things because that's what you're emanating, right? Because we are energy. And when we're healthy, we're emanating that same thing and inviting in more of that.
Wow.
Right. So there is a much bigger point to taking care of your body than just to look good. It's so much more than physically looking great. It's like, sure, it feels good to look nice too. Yeah. But the bigger part of it is you are going to feel so much better when you actually start taking care of yourself.
Yeah, it's like taking off like these sunglasses and just like enjoying the brightness of the room. That's so important. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your time, your space with us today. Please tell people where they can find you. I know you have your courses online. How can they connect with you and reach out if they have more questions?
Yeah. So you can find me at www.linrivers.com, and it's LINN in case you're just listening. And I have a course on there right now. It is literally $50 during pre-launch because I want people to have a no excuse price to get this information that they need. And it runs you through all of the functional medicine aspects that we just talked about and so much more. And I actually just opened up an Instagram page literally yesterday. So you can find that too on my website in the links down below. And so, yeah, that's the best way.
That's awesome. Yay for new Instagram pages. I have my Facebook that I've been growing for a while, but now that I have a social media manager, he's like, yeah, you need an Instagram. So mine's new too. Yay, we can be newbies together.
Oh my God,
together.
That's amazing.
We'll follow each other. I love that. Lynn Rivers, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to or watching this episode of the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. Please subscribe, like, share, and follow. For any information that was discussed in this podcast episode, check out the show notes below. Until next time, be well.